Okay, so we're going to talk about the Christmas love model. So why don't you turn with me to John 3. It's amazing. This is the third time, because I taught on this in Nanuet last Sunday. Two services. The second service was entirely different than the first service. Same scriptures. We taught on the Wednesday, different message. And when I was looking at notes, I was going to go a different direction, I thought. And same message. And it's going to come out different. Because as Pastor Clinton once said, the Word of God is like a multifaceted diamond. When you turn it, because of the way light hits it, you see something different. And my position is whenever I sit down and prepare to bring anything before the people, I want to see something different. Not that there's nothing wrong with the same thing or what's being taught, but I want the revelation. That's what I want. I want to see something that's going to kind of get me going. So in John 3:16, Passion Translation, Jesus said, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift, so now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it." That's why he came. He didn't come to condemn. He came to be a savior. We shouldn't come to condemn. We should come to save, to help people out of situations, not condemn them because they've gotten themselves into situations. But I have a very simple question, and you can give me the spiritual answers if you want to. You know, just give me what you think. What is Christmas? Very simple question, not a trick question. What is Christmas? Remember the birth of Jesus, celebrate the birth of Jesus. Anything else? I'm not looking for a particular answer. I just want you to say what you think. Some people say, "I'm not going to." It's okay to say a time you get presents. That's okay. People say, "Oh, I can't say that in church. They're going to think I'm greedy." No. No, I just wanted to know. Let me ask it this way. What's the purpose for Christmas? Yeah, I know. Presents. Yeah. To celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, since that's so, how come no one ever sings happy birthday to Jesus during Christmas? Unless we're doing the song by Brooklyn Tab. Christmas, folks. Well, first go to Ephesians 5. I shared it with you. I want you to see it. We're going to go to Ephesians 5 and the John 5:19. But first, Ephesians 5, verse 1, in the Amplified Bible. Says, "Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father." So the word to us is that in all things, we're to imitate God, we're to copy him. John 5, verse 19, so Jesus answered him by saying, "I assure you most solemnly," this is, I'm still in the Amplified, "I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn." So Jesus is saying, I watch the Father. And what he does, I do it the same. Some translations say exactly the same. First Corinthians 13. We call these the love scriptures. Still in the Amplified Bible. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious and does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And I know you're wondering, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, I'm going to give you a definition, and then you tell me what the word is, okay? A standard or example for imitation or comparison. A representation generally in miniature to show the construction or appearance of something. What does that word define? Any thoughts? A standard or example for imitation or comparison. A model. That's the definition of the word model. And I shared that because in addition to the birth of Christ, Christmas is all about God modeling love. Modeling how he expects us to love. Think about what we started out with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't condemn it. He sent his absolute best, and he didn't send his best to condemn. He sent his best to save. He sent his best, his one and only, to save. Because he so loved. And we're to be imitators of him. So if he so loved the world, what should we do? And not in our own way, not what we think the world deserves. Christmas is about how much God loved mankind. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 10 in the Message Bible, says, "My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person, listen to how this is put. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love." It doesn't say the person who can't love. It said the person who refuses to love. That means every single human being has the capability to love the way God loves. And if you're not doing it, it's because you've chosen to refuse not to, for whatever reason. And this passage tells us the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love him. Now listen to this part. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. So that tells us a couple of things. One, sin damages relationships. It damages relationships. And Jesus came as a sacrifice to repair the damage because God so loved the world. It's illustrated even stronger in Romans 5, verse 8, New King James Version. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, as humans, well, you guys don't do that. One of the things that I do, okay, because I know about me. This says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I like to see a little indication that you're starting to get it. And that's not right, but I'm just being honest with you. As humans, we tend to want to see some inkling that this person's going to change. Some inkling that they're getting it. We'll take an initial step. You know, if I want to go down there, I may walk to here and say, well, I'm just going to observe them for a while and see if there's any changes going on. And then if I see a change, I may take another step and say, I'm going to watch some more because I know what they've done. I know what they've said. I'm just going to look and see before. I'm not just going to commit myself totally. You know, now that's just stupid. No, that's just godly. Because God sent Jesus while we were still sinners. Some translations say while we were of no use to him at all. He sent Jesus while we were still sinning. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. While we were still sinning, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. While we were still sinning, he was taking stripes for our healing. While we were still sinning, no indication that we're going to stop. That's the type of love God modeled through what we call Christmas. God didn't say, I'm going to call it Christmas. He just said the child's going to be born. But God is love, and because God is love, we his children, we have an obligation to love the same way he loved. So Christmas, in addition to the birth of Christ, it was and is God modeling how we're to operate based on 1 Corinthians 13, how we're to operate based on everything we've seen and read and heard from the Bible about the love of God. It should be seen in us. Let me read 1 John 3:16 and 17 out of the Contemporary English Version because it says it a little differently. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who hath faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them. So God sent Jesus for the people. Say, God sent Jesus for the people. It doesn't say some of the people. It doesn't say God sent him for most of the people. It says he sent them for the people, meaning all people. And verse 17 makes that clear, where it said God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people, to condemn all the people in the world. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn them. Christmas is a reminder that we're to show love to all people all the time. It does not matter if the person is born again or not born again. Because the Bible tells us God reigns on the just and the unjust. So whether the person is a sinner or a saint, we're called to love them. Regardless of their economical status, we're called to love them. Regardless of their political affiliation, we're called to love them. Regardless of the color of their skin or what faith or religion they believe, we're called to love them. And we have a we have a model that we can model. We have Christmas. Christmas is God bringing a Savior into a world that did not deserve one. Into a world that, by God's standard, was worthy of death. So, well, why do you say it's God's standard? Because God said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And when you think about it, I'll find the scriptures in a minute, but God had this kind of love for us before the foundations of the world. Before there even was a world, there was the love of there was God loving it. You need to think about that. And that's what Christmas is modeling. Before anything, any light ever was, the love of God was for a creation that he had not yet created. How many of you have children? How many of you loved your children when you were 1 year of age? You weren't even thinking about children. Now think about it. God loved us before he even told his board of directors that he was going to create us. He didn't just say, I love people. See, sometimes we think, I can say I love you and that's enough. No, he showed it. He demonstrated it. He modeled it. That's what he did. No matter what happened, we could not get God to step away from the way he loves us. And God expects Jesus to model that for us, and he does. And Jesus expects us to become models of it. Because he said in John 20, I got to start at verse 19. I want to do 21, but I got to start at verse 19. King James Version. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Well, of course, because they were in a room where all the doors were locked, and Jesus just showed up. If he didn't say, peace be with you, they'd have knocked down the doors running out in fear. Okay. And when he had said so, he showed, listen to what he did. He showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Listen to this. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So if Jesus was sent to be wounded for our transgressions, to be bruised for our iniquities, for the chastisement of our peace to be upon him, and with his stripes we're healed, we're sent the same way. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means we're going to have to tolerate stuff for Christ's sake and the sake of the person who's doing it. Because they have no clue. But I have a question. That's why I had to start at verse 19. Why do you think Jesus showed them his hands and his side? Is that normal? You come into the room, you say, peace be unto you. Look. He'd say, what's wrong with that guy? No, he wanted them to see the nail prints in his hands. He wanted them to see the wound from the spear that was thrust in his side. He wanted them to see that because it authenticated who he was. There had to be something that they could see where they would know for sure this is the real deal. Well, God still operates in that principle. That's why he gave us John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another. The same way I love you, you love one another. For this is how all men will know that you are my disciples. When they see the love you have one for another. So just like Jesus had to show signs that, yes, I am really the Christ, we have to show signs, yes, we're really with Christ. And the only acceptable sign for a believer is demonstrating love. Why is that? Well, years ago, probably before, at least before the younger ones were born, they had a video, a tape called Memorex. And the commercial, you remember that? And the tagline was, is it live or is it Memorex? Because it wasn't the real deal, but it was very close. Well, sometimes we can act like we're with Christ, but there's a difference. So you can't fake the God kind of love. You can fake emotions. You can. You can fake affection. You can't fake love. Why? There are too many things associated with it. There are too many questions can be asked. And the people needed to know that Jesus was authentic. And once he was authentic, or once they authenticated him by seeing the nail prints, by seeing the wound, they listened to what he had to say. When the people see the love we have for each other, they'll listen to what we have to say. If they don't see, now think about it. They hear us calling each other, you're my sister in Christ, you're my brother in Christ. I love you with the love of the Lord. They hear all of that. Then they go on social media and see something different. What do you think they're going to believe? They're going to look at what you've posted. They're going to look at what you liked. They're going to look at what you shared. And they're going to think, I already feel that. Well, I don't want to listen to anything they have to say. They're going to tell me about God. They're going to tell me about Christ. They're going to tell me about how to live. If you were driving down 611, North 9th Street. And I'm here today and I'm talking about love. And as you pull up, you see police cars and you ride by and they're trying to pull me off someone that cut me off and I drug them out of the car and was banging their head into the ground. They come back here on Sunday and I say, praise the Lord. All of a sudden I'll hear an echo because the whole place will empty out. And I'll be on the balcony, but you gotta love me, but you gotta love me. No, we have the responsibility to demonstrate the same kind of love. Jesus was saying, follow the love model. Now let's look at just, we're not going to go through all of 1 Corinthians, just a couple of things in 1 Corinthians 13 and some other love scriptures, so to speak. But it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. In Titus 1, Apostle Paul, it says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So before there was ever a world, God promised eternal life. In 2 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 9, out of the Living Bible, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ. Before the world, long before the world began, God had a plan to show us his love and kindness through Christ. Through Christ. You're talking about love endures long and is patient and kind. From the birth of Christ, I mean, from time Adam and Eve sinned to the birth of Christ was a little more than 4,000 years. So God was willing to be separated from man for over 4,000 years. God was willing to wait for his entire plan to come together. 4,000 years, over 4,000 years. I believe this article was written in the 60s or 70s, and it was 4,000 years then. I think it's amazing because everybody said, you know, it's been 2,000 years. And it's been 2,000 years for the last 60 years. Everyone's still saying 2,000 years. But God was modeling patience. He didn't wait after 2,685 years and say, I can't take this. I've waited long enough. After all, I'm God. I shouldn't have to wait for anything. He's not inflated with pride. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Now look at Matthew. Just because Jesus is the Son of God doesn't mean that he was exempt from having to deal with stuff. And this is after Judas betrayed him. The soldiers went to take him. Peter took off, whipped out his sword, cut off Malchus' ear. Jesus picked the ear. That part amazes me. I go to get someone, and that person's buddy cuts off my ear, and the one that I was going to get picks up my ear and puts it back in place, and you think I'm going to put my hands on them? No, I don't think so. I'm leaving. What's that song, On a Jet Plane? Matthew 26. Jesus said, speaking to Peter, he said, put your sword back where it belongs. All who use swords are destroyed by swords. Now listen to what he said. Don't you realize that I am able right now to call to my Father and 12 companies, more if I want them, of fighting angels would be here battle ready. But if I did that, how would the scriptures come true that say this is the way it has to be? How can I demonstrate love if, because I am God's son and I don't want to be crucified, I don't want to be spit on and beaten up and stripped by these Romans. So I'm going to call down legion of angels to wipe them out. The very people that I came here to save, I'm going to wipe out. Doesn't make any sense when you think of it that way. But it gets a little more intense. Luke 23, Passion Translation. Talking about Christmas being the love model. When they came to the place that is known as the skull, the guards crucified Jesus, nailing him on the center cross between the two criminals. Listen to this. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, what does that mean? While they were nailing him? It's not a trick question. While they were in the process, while they were pounding nails into him, he prayed over and over. And he didn't pray, "Father, get them. How dare they put their hands on me like this?" He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And after the soldiers crucified them, they gambled over his clothes. They rolled dice to see who's going to get his clothes. And while they're doing that, Jesus is, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." How many of us, you hear a noise outside, and you go and someone's stealing your car, and you're going to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." No, they're going to hear. Then they made me hear a voice. "If I were you, I'd back out of the car." When I was in the alarm business, I was designing security systems. And I knew all sorts of people. And I had some people that you could consider their made men. And we had just come out, they had just invented a siren that you could program. It'll do whatever if it's a voice, if you want to put your voice on it, you can. You can record what noise you needed the intruder to hear. This one guy, he said, "Greg, this is what I want to do." I'm like, "Okay, so let's go in the backyard." Go to the backyard, have put in program mode. And he said, and he pulled out the biggest gun I've ever seen at that point. He pulled out a gun, and he said, "Hey," then he went, "Leave now," or then he pulled the trigger. That was his siren. "Hey, leave now," or boom. I don't think his house was ever burglarized. But that's not what we're supposed to do as Christians. But look at verse 35. A great crowd gathered to watch what was happening. The religious leaders sneered at Jesus and mocked him, saying, "Look at this man. What kind of chosen Messiah is this? He pretended to save others, but he can't save himself." Well, Jesus didn't respond to that because there was another characteristic. Takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Jesus never changed his prayer. He never went from, "God, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Never went there. 1 Peter 4 is another, if somehow they could blend it into First Corinthians 4, it needs to be. "Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins." forgives and disregards the offenses of others. That's why when you're reading the word, you want to read in more than one translation so you get the full meaning. Love covers. Everybody say love covers. Go to Genesis 3. Sometimes we operate in what I say we mistakenly call tough love. We think tough love is you go, you bash someone, you tell them off, and you do all this stuff because it's for their good. A few years ago, God gave us the message, Understanding the Love Walk. And in that message, he gave us a new definition for tough love. Tough love is when that person acts up, you get tough and love them the way God says anyway. That's tough love. But this is after Adam and Eve. We say Adam and Eve sinned, and that sounds light. But what they did is they gave authority over everything God had just created back to the devil. They disregarded what God said. They disrespected who God was. They didn't value what God gave them. And as a result, they lost it all. Genesis 3, verse 21, the Amplified says, For Adam also and his wife, the Lord God made long coats, tunics of skins, and clothed them. Where did he get the skins? From the animals in the garden. God killed the animals to cover Adam and Eve's sin and shame. He demonstrated he was willing to sacrifice the innocent to cover the guilty. He's saying that's not showing love to the innocent. But they lose their lives, so they got much more than that. But he so loved them and he so loved us, so he sent Jesus so Jesus could cover a multitude of sins. Because that's what love does. Love covers. Love doesn't expose. Love doesn't cut. Everything that you do gets brought, put in a church bulletin so everybody will know. This is what you did. No, that's not loving, because love covers. In 1 Corinthians 13, it also said, Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Well, that means when the unexpected happens, it doesn't throw you off. You don't change your opinions of a person because things came up. Even if they planned it, because some people do. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Christ never stopped loving him. Matter of fact, he loved him, and he knew he told Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And then he gave Peter a very important job. You're going to deny me 3 times tonight. But when you get it back together, strengthen your brethren. When Judas left to go and betray Jesus, Jesus said to him, What you do, do quickly. And the disciples were thinking, well, he's, going to go give money to the poor or something like that. And Jesus knew that's what they were thinking. Jesus could have said, No. The reason I said that, because this dirty dog is going to go out and he's going to betray me. And so while I'm going to have to go through it, you guys stay clear of him. Stay away from him. Stay away from his family. And really, it won't bother me one bit if you decide to take him out. No, he didn't warn the disciples to be wary of anybody, of Judas. Why? He loved them. He chose Judas. Now, think about this. Jesus didn't have a memory lapse when it could say, okay, Peter, yeah, Judas. No, he didn't go have a memory lapse with Judas. He knew exactly what Judas was going to do. And he chose him to be one of his disciples anyway. Because love chooses to believe the best. Now, think about this. How many in here, you know exactly how someone's going to respond every single time? So why do we judge people? Jesus knew, God knows, he knows how we're going to react or respond to every single situation that'll ever come up in our lives. And he loves us anyway. Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. People lied on him. Gave him phony praise. Comes into the city. Hosanna, yeah. Doing their little Holy Ghost dance. What should we do with Jesus? Crucify him. Praise in the beginning of the week, death at the end of the week. Coming from the same mouths. But his love never fade out. Never came to an end. And in the midst of all that chaos that was going on in the garden, God didn't run around pulling out his hair saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, time for me to give another gift. He said in verse 15 of Genesis 3, and I will put enmity, hostility, between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Well, the problem with that is her didn't have a seed. Her have the egg. He have the seed. He said, but it shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise its heel. So he's saying, the seed of the woman is going to break your lordship, and all you're going to be able to do is persecute him. That's 20th century Elizabethan English. That's what that means. In the midst of that mess, God spoke his plan of redemption. And Christmas is the manifestation of the production of the seed of the woman who had no seed. Even when mankind failed God and disregarded God, even disrespected God, God never gave up. Never gave up. Matthew 5. Beginning with verse 43 in the Passion Translation. It says, your ancestors have also been taught, love your neighbors and hate the one who hates you. However, I say to you, love your enemy. Bless the one who curses you. Do something wonderful for the one who hates you. And respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. For that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father. He is kind to all by bringing the sunrise to warm and rain fall to refresh, whether a person does what is good or evil. What reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable? And I believe since God called us to love everybody, there's no such thing as a person being unlovable. Don't even the tax collectors do that? How are you any different from others if you limit your kindness only to your friends? Don't even the ungodly do that? Since you are children of a perfect Father in heaven, you ought to be perfect like him. Christ was born because God cares about us. Christ was born because God loves us. Christ was born because God had to demonstrate this is what you do when you love someone. This is what love does. He didn't design the gift just because he wanted people to have fun with it. He designed the gift because he wanted it to be beneficial. He wanted us to get better, to gain because of that. But here's another thought that I don't want to lose. In the midst, when you read Genesis 1 and 2, and it talks about everything that God was giving to man, then it says something. God took the man and placed the man into the garden to dress the garden and to keep it, which means the garden needed protection. So God gave gifts to man and then placed man in a position to be a gift to the earth, to the garden. In the same manner, Jesus was a gift to us. When we received the gift and operate in the gift, we become a gift to this planet, to the people of this planet. That's not just me needing some sleep. Look at Romans 8. Let us know how important our role is, how important it is for us to model the same type of love God is modeling for us. Verse 18, beginning of verse 18 in Romans 8, Passion Translation. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that's about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. All of creation, the entire union, they're like, are they there yet? Where are they? I know they're coming. Here's why. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. So creation is like, we didn't do anything wrong. Yet we have to pay for it. Now the ground is cursed. Thorns and things are pulling up. And they're saying, we know when the true sons and daughters of God are going to be revealed, everything will go back to the way it was before. And so they're stretching out. Is it happening yet? Where is it? Do you see anybody yet? No, not yet. Well, let's keep looking. Let's keep waiting. Because we have a promise that it's going to come. All creation, well, it says, but now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. So that they know when we're revealed, they'll be restored. But we have to receive the gift, take on the characteristics of the gift, and then we become the gift. Matthew 1, verse 19, talking about the birth of Christ. When you think about it, Joseph had to demonstrate that kind of love. He demonstrated love covers, even though Mary didn't sin, but he didn't know that. That's why, folks, everything is not always the way it appears. Under every known circumstance at that time, the only way a woman could become pregnant is by having intercourse with a male. So Mary, who's engaged to be married, her fiance shows up and she says, Joseph, I got to tell you something. I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. How do you answer that question? What? You pregnant by who? You see stupid written on my forehead? You think I'm a fool? You pregnant by the Holy Ghost, right? And he had every right to have her taken to the edge of the city and stoned to death. But it says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. Why? He loved her. And what does love do? It covers. Well, he was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, at least he didn't act based on emotion. He sat down and thought about it. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Christmas is a model of God loving the people and saving them from their sins. You don't have to understand how they got into it. Joseph, God didn't, he just said, She's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. He didn't tell him all the details. But it didn't matter. Bottom line is, she's going to give birth to a son, and he's going to be the savior of the world. Period. And that's also saying, I'm trusting you, Joseph, that you will do everything I tell you to do with that child. That's why it's so important, folks. Those of us that have children, even grandchildren, that we find out from God what we're to say to that child before we say it. Because we're not the one, contrary to what we like to believe, we're not the one with the purpose and plan for their lives. God is. And he has a destiny for every child. And one of our responsibilities as parents, one of our main responsibilities as parents and grandparents, is to find out what we're to do to help that child move into God's plan for their lives. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. As I've said a number of times, Christmas is the result of God modeling his love in action so that his children can take the same actions, and we be his children. We are his children. Christmas illustrates how God so loved the world, all the people in the world. And now our responsibility is, we heard about it, we've seen it, we've experienced the love of God. Everybody in here has experienced the love of God in one form or another. Now we're charged with go out and do likewise. What do you mean? The same way you look at God's, you look at the Christmas model. Savior being born, even while people are running rampant in sin. Savior being born. Being born with the express purpose of being sacrificed. because God so loved the world. Let that be your model. Just like the song, all the presents are nice. Have nothing against receiving presents. I like receiving presents just like everybody else does. But as I've been saying over the years, the presence of Christ on the earth is far more valuable than any present you'll find under that tree. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for showing us another meaning of Christmas. Thank you for letting us know, for showing us that you were modeling how you expect us to love like you do. And we thank you that the Holy Ghost will unveil this to us in the days and weeks to come and will check us when we're about to take a step out of love. We understand that as the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus is now sending us. And we thank you that the same Holy Spirit that resided with him resides with us. May the words that we heard today stick with us, stay in our hearts, in our spirits, in our thinking, so that we put them to action. And we become models of the God kind of love. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? Because one thing, a gift has to be given. And the gift of Christ was given. But in order for a gift to be beneficial, it has to be received. Somebody can give you a new car. If you never get in it and drive it, it won't benefit you at all. So if you're here and you've never received Jesus, very simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That's it? Yep, that's it. It's not complicated. So if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, I need to just raise your hand. So all I'm going to do is lead you in a confession, and then we're going to get some information in your hands as to who you've become as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Is there anyone here? Thank you for letting me share with you the way God wanted it shared. I don't know. I believe that this won't be the last time I see you before the year's out. But we have to look and see. We're trying to get some time off, slip another weekend. We'll see if it works out. Either way, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. But remember, Christmas is modeling the love of God. And so you become a model of the love of God. Amen? Amen.